All right. You are listening to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. And I am speaking with Miss Amy Morin, who is author of 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do, and her newest book, 13 Things That Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do. Amy, if we could take a pause for just a moment so that you can talk with us about each of these two books and how people can get them.
Sure. So my first book, 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do, it's available just about anywhere where books are sold, from Amazon to it's even in Target, at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all the bookstores. And 13 Things Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do is available for pre-order now. In fact, if you pre-order it, we'll give you $157 worth of free bonuses if you order it now. It comes out September 19th. And you can pre-order it from basically the same places, any bookstores. And if you want the pre-order bonus, go to my website, which is Amy Morin, LCSW, is in licensed clinical social worker.com.
Awesome. And ladies and gentlemen, we wanted you to get that information now so that if there are any of you who will have to leave us before we get to the end of the hour, you'll already have received that information. But we will be discussing this again. We will be talking about the books, Amy Morin, 13 things, mentally strong people don't do. 13 things mentally strong parents don't do. And I want to let you know, express my appreciation to you, Amy, for having done such a great job of when it comes to how you've written the books, because you've written the books in such a way that it is just as easy to follow what you're sharing in the books as it is to follow as you share an actual conversation.
Well, good. Thank you. I try to, you know, it's a lot of the principles that I've used as a therapist, the things I've used in my own life, and as a foster parent, too, to say, how do I put all this together in easy-to-understand language? And I try to make things just as, break it down as simple as possible. That's how I like information, is when it gives me an actual action step. I didn't want to fill the book with fluff and lots of philosophies and tons of studies and stuff without then making sure that I also explain, here's the problem, and then here's the solution. Here's what to do instead.
I love that. And it is very, very practical how-tos. And you know that when it comes to how-tos, Amy, you know better than I know, there are, well, we've heard people saying for years and years and years that when it comes to being a parent, there are no books out there, there are no manuals out there, and so you just have to kind of wing it and feel your way through. And actually, the good news is that's really not accurate. There are books out there, and amongst those are yours, and particularly this one called 13 Things That Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do. Just as in a general sense, what do you find to be some of the greatest challenges that parents face when it comes to parenting effectively?
I think that today's world has lots of challenges. And I think, for one, we're raising the first generation of humans who have grown up with technology that we never had. So it's hard to know, how do you make sure that your kids become tech savvy without getting themselves into trouble? Or how do we know how this is going to affect them 20 years from now, the fact that two-year-olds are using tablets? But that's one big thing, is to figure out how do you manage that. And another big issue is the world has become quite competitive for young people. And so I find a lot of parents are saying, you know, I have to do everything I can to make sure that my child can compete with everybody else so that he can get into a good college, or so that he can make sure he gets through high school okay. And because of that, parents are taking on a lot of extra responsibility, making sure kids don't fail or propping them up. And then we're seeing that kids aren't necessarily prepared emotionally for the real world. They did a survey where they found that 60% of college kids said, the one skill I wished parents had taught me was emotional skills. I don't know how to deal with all of these emotions now that I'm on my own. I'm bored, or I'm lonely, or I'm anxious. I don't know what to do about it. So I see lots of challenges in that space that parents are struggling to know. How do you teach kids all of these skills that they need, but at the same time, how do we make sure that they're prepared for the real world?
I like that, prepared for the real world. And it is so controversial as to some of the techniques, some of the environments, even school academic environments, that are most suited for helping kids be ready for the real world. And so it seems like the challenge is just growing, not only for the kids, but for the parents as well. And that said, though, people don't have to go into parenting completely blind. There are principles that they can be aware of that can help them, whether they are going to be becoming new parents in the near future or whether they're parents right now raising children. And so from your book, 13 Things Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do, Ms. Amy Morin, share with us one principle that we need to be aware of.
I guess one is that mentally strong parents don't feel responsible for their child's emotions. And that goes back to what I was just discussing, that as parents, I see so many people who feel like it's their job, if their child is bored, they have to entertain them. Or if their child is sad, then they think I have to cheer them up. Or if their child's angry, they think I have to calm them down. And we do all of that, but we don't teach kids how to do that for themselves. And because of that, kids aren't learning. And I don't fault parents for this, because I know that most of us were never taught a lot of these skills. And sort of then to figure out, how do I teach it to a child? It just isn't in our DNA to know, how do I inherently teach these skills, especially if I never learned them myself. So it's hard to do that. But really, it's about, how do you teach your child to do those things so that when he's 18 or 25, he can do it all on his own, and to make sure that you're giving kids the strategies, the coping skills, and the information so that they can carry that through the rest of their lives. And when people read my first book, the most common question I kept getting was, how do we teach kids to be mentally strong? And so it's one thing for you to have the skills. So even if you do know, okay, I know how to do this for myself, to figure out, how do you translate that for a 4-year-old or a 17-year-old? A little bit different. So I tried to fill my book with exercises, specific ones for preschoolers and grade school kids and even teenagers, to say, here's some strategies you can use, exercises that you can do with your kids today that you can start implementing.
I love that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get the book. I want you to read those, look at those exercises, because they are practical. They really are practical how-tos. Something that you really alluded to already, Amy, when it comes to the whole issue of our relation, the parent's relationship with the parent, with the child, and we really do want them to be able to handle their emotions well, although we may not know how to teach them how to do that. What it comes down to is, many parents really and truly love their children. But in loving their children, sometimes we express that love the wrong way, and we don't want to, you know, rock the boat any more than necessary. And one of the things that you share when it comes to rocking that boat, or trying to avoid rocking the boat, is that a lot of parents make the mistake of giving their power to their children.
Yes, it's something I see often more and more these days, that, it used to be that parents wanted to be in charge. So say 30, 40 years ago, parents were sort of the authoritarian, I'm the boss kind of parenting.
Yes.
And then those kids, as they grew up, they thought, you know, that wasn't that much fun. My parents bossed me around. I'm going to give my kids more power because I don't want to be like that. And sort of like the pendulum started to shift. So now we're seeing that it's gone too far in other directions sometimes, that parents are asking kids, what would you like for dinner tonight? And kids are making the choice of what the whole family is going to eat. Or parents just don't want to be in charge because they think, well, you know, I don't want my child to be mad at me. Or they let kids weigh in on adult decisions. I've had single moms in my office who could say, I'm thinking of dating again, but my 12-year-old doesn't want me to. So they don't do it. Or families who said, you know, we thought about moving across the country, but our 7-year-old got really upset, so we're not going to do that. And for parents to know, you got to switch that hierarchy back, that you need to be in charge, and you can take your child's opinion into consideration. You should certainly ask them, how do you feel about this? But ultimately, kids need to know that you're the leader. And that's good for kids. It reduces a lot of their anxiety when they know mom or dad has this handled and I don't have to have it all figured out. And it's tough for some parents to do. They either think, I don't have the leadership skills, or I don't know what I'm doing, I can't figure it out, or I want my child to feel valued. But in reality, that hurts kids more than it helps them if they think it's a democracy across the board, that we really need parents to take back their power and to be in charge and to be able to tell kids, here are the rules, here's the consequences for breaking the rules. You don't have to like all the decisions I make, but that's okay.
You know, you mentioned that, and it reminds me of something that I heard a teenager say some years ago. He was looking so distraught. And I asked him, hey, what's going on? And he said to me, my parents don't love me. And when I asked him how he had reached that conclusion, he said, because they let me get away with anything. They wouldn't set limits. And because they wouldn't set limits, because they would not be the parents, would not be the leaders and say, this is the way it's going to be, he concluded, they don't love me.
Isn't that amazing? Because I think as parents, we think, well, you know, I don't want to put too many rules or all the other kids get to do stuff, so I need to let my child do that stuff too. But in reality, kids really actually want limits, and they might get mad, and they might stomp their feet, they might yell at you or say, I hate you, but they, deep down, they really want to know, okay, you've got this handled, and I don't have to worry about adult decisions because you're going to keep me safe. And when we can make that shift to say, okay, I love you, and I'm not going to let you go out to that party, or I'm not going to let you do something where you could get hurt, it really sends the message, I care about you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Ms. Amy Morin, back with more powerful principles for us in just a few.